Guys.
Yes.
Roll it.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for. He was a high school All-American, a college All-American. He was All-Pro in the NFL, but the thing that he's most proud of is during his show in Muncie, Indiana, he made a woman in the crowd laugh so hard, she shit her pants. Ladies and gentlemen, Pat McAfee!
Good air horn right there. How's it going? It is March 7th. This is our first Tuesday edition of the Pat McAfee Show. We hope you enjoy it. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for subscribing, rating, and reviewing this podcast, which is still very average. With me, as usual, to my right is a man from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Anthony DeGilio. He goes by the name of Diggs. Diggs, how's it going?
Hey, guy. Good to be here.
Hey,
excited to do a two-week.
Hey, yeah,
let's
get
to it.
Yeah, we're getting after it now. Huh?
Also, no one has still found Richard Simmons, so
we got no chance.
Listeners, let's get on that, okay?
Guys, if you are a Navy SEAL or have a friend that is a Navy SEAL or anything that is in private detection, if you know Dog the Bounty Hunter, what we need you to do is find Richard Simmons as soon as possible.
Even Twitter's getting behind Richard Simmons.
They're promoting him.
Yep.
It's unbelievable. CNN, everybody. To the right of Diggs is an ex-Marine. I think you're a Marine for life. He was an ex-state police detective. I think you're a police detective until you retire, which is what you did. He's a great man. He's a comedian. He owns a couple of comedy clubs. Todd McComas. Todd, how's it going?
Good. I'll find Simmons if you want me to.
If you could,
I'm going to take. I have to take vacation from the podcast.
I was going to say, but we didn't need you here.
Well, right. I think you should put your nose to the ground. I think you help out the podcast a lot more. You find that bastard. To his right, the guy that just chimed in unannounced is my brother. He's an introvert. He's my exact opposite. He's here to validate stories. Jason McAfee, how's it going, brother?
Very good.
Excellent. You sound great in that microphone, by the way.
Hey, well, thank you.
We're three episodes into this. Jay has figured out how to speak into a mic. This is big news.
Almost.
First time.
First time
he's been in the mic.
We will see how this goes. The ones and twos on the other side, a guy from Pittsburgh, he's a Paisan. You can find him on Bumble or Tinder when he's in your area. Right now he is in Indianapolis. He's a tall drink of water, Nick Marauder. Nick, how's it going?
Hey, buddy, doing well. Richard Simmons, that's a hoax. You guys know that, right?
Yeah, I think it's a hoax.
He's sitting on the couch just collecting
a
paycheck from all this.
I think everything's fake, and I thought that was real.
Stay woke.
Wow.
These guys have tricked everybody, and they've gotten rich off of it, probably. Number one podcast
in the country.
Most absurd thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, he's totally, and he's going to come back. He's going to be even more famous. He's reinvented his fame.
So you're telling me if we just lock Pat up in his house for a few months, we're going to be number one?
Not a bad idea, boys. Not a bad idea. Lock me up, cuz. Lock me up. Richard Simmons, one of the most flamboyant humans in history. I can't believe he's this hard to find. Maybe it is fake, Nick. Good call. That is a good call.
I think you're right. I think you nailed it, Nick.
Maybe
it's
he's
all
dead. Well, anyways, moving on.
I hope he's dead.
The combine in Indianapolis just ended. It was a big week. I mean, it was a big week for the NFL. The future is there. All those stupid-ass workouts and their tights and everything like that. A lot of big things happened. The 40-yard dash time was broken, which nobody thought was possible. But the guy was not wearing Adidas, so he did not win an island. John Ross went 4.22 out of the University of Washington wearing Nike. How do we feel about it?
Hey, wear what's comfortable. I think, you know, I like Adidas. I like it a lot, but their shoes, I've tried them on. They hurt my feet.
I like their comfy sneakers. I wear a lot of their shoes. I've been making, Adidas has made moves since they did the Yeezy collab, if that makes sense. The Yeezy went in there and said, hey, guys, try this out. You know, the Yeezy wardrobe, horrible. Shoe collection, pretty solid. I think he's helping out Adidas a lot. I got a lot of Adidas shoes. But all they did here, just like Powerade does with Gatorade, just like Phil Mickelson does with Tiger Woods, is they helped Nike in the long run. That's all they did, Dicks. All they did was help Nike because Nike fired off a fire-ass tweet, which was what, directly afterwards?
That John Ross will be on his own island now that he ran a 4.22.
Unbelievable. So Nike used Adidas's marketing, all of it, flipped it on their head and said, fuck you.
Because they're king of the world. That's what you do.
I became a John Ross fan because he agreed with me that islands would suck. It would suck to own an island.
Why did he say they would suck?
Because he can't swim and he doesn't have a boat.
Did he say he can't swim or doesn't like to? That's a very racist comment.
Jason would say,
hey,
yeah.
Don't quote me, we're paraphrasing. Can't swim and doesn't have a boat.
But he probably knew.
And he doesn't want to pay the taxes and build an island resort.
Triple net. We've been learning a lot about this. Triple net. You got insurance. You got taxes when you're doing real estate. Especially on areas. An island.
Yeah. They get you on the taxes.
Oh, they get you on the back end, too. Yeah, I've been learning that about the real
estate. So instead, like,
his cams are probably outrageous.
Common area is probably crazy on the island. It's insane. These are all
guys. Just because we're learning about property doesn't mean everyone else is.
Yeah, it's a factual statement. We've been going through more meetings than we've ever been in our entire life. I feel like I've learned more about real estate in the last 2 weeks than anybody needs to know. But
it's
God
a logistical
damn.
Nightmare.
Yeah, there's a lot of words that I don't understand. You got to go to school for a long time, there, Todd. Long time, Todd. You got to do it. Hey, Diggs, what are you thinking there? Huh?
Is that Boston?
I don't know.
I don't know. Dump a body in the marsh and we'll get a studio.
I like that. I like that.
I don't know.
You watch Black Mass?
I didn't like it.
I liked Black Mass.
I didn't like it.
You didn't like it? Oh, I liked it.
Wasn't as good as whatchamacallit, the other one. What's the other one?
Departed.
Here's a little inside piece of information. Evidently, what's the guy's name? The real bad guy? Whitey Bulger.
James Whitey Bulger.
Did not allow cussing. He did not allow his crew to cuss.
We don't either.
That's an interesting.
That's where us and Whitey are a lot alike.
But that movie, that's an interesting plot point. Like if that badass of a, you know, he's just a serial killer.
Makes him a nerd.
He wouldn't let them swear is awesome.
No,
that's
it makes
way
him
better
a nerd.
For TV and film.
No, Diggs is right. He's a nerd. Like
it
why?
Makes him a fucking
what's
nerd.
What's the point?
But that was the real Whitey Bulger, and that's amazing. He has a mind decapitating the person on his lawn.
Because he's a gangster.
But he doesn't want you cussing.
Listen, you're allowed to do whatever you want when you're a gangster.
I know. Way, it would have made that character way more, factually accurate, two, more interesting.
I like The Departed a lot better than Black Mass because it actually had a story come full circle. My favorite thing about Whitey Bulger, we're getting on a lot of things here. This is a real off topic. I don't know if there is a topic, actually.
Never is.
My favorite part is Whitey Bulger coming back, them finding him in California, living a life.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Comes back to court. All the people that said all those bad things about him to get out of jail time, now had to testify in front of him, like staring at him. And Whitey was just taking zero shit from anybody. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
Like in the courtroom, that's drama. That is high drama. You're telling me Whitey doesn't swear even in those types of moments? Whitey never swore.
He bullshit, didn't allow man. His members of his crew. That's why I mean it's just a factual thing. But
if you believe in that.
Are you sure?
Fake news. Just believe in facts and the truth.
Fake news.
But
where did you get these facts and truth from?
It's just everybody knows
sure?
that about
Is it
Whitey
Dolphin?
Bulger.
I don't know.
It's been the largest criticism of the movie
dolphins
from the people that made the documentary.
Did he agree that dolphins are real though?
Yeah.
Is that dolphin real or is it just a fake
That is such
we
a factual statement.
Fact checked it
I can't
up.
Hang.
So anyway, Departed, great movie. Black Mass could have been better if they would have stuck more to the truth because it's more interesting. But
how about the town?
Anything
Isn't
in
the
Boston?
Town? I feel like I know Boston.
Hey, what'd you do? What'd you do to my brother? That's the town.
You're an idiot. Anyways, going back to it, John Ross knew he was going to break the record.
Oh, yeah. That's where we were.
Decided to stick with Nike. Said, I'm not doing it. I don't care. And made more money doing it. And doesn't have to deal with swimming. He doesn't have to deal with any of this property bullshit that we have to go through. And in the end, Adidas loses. Nike wins again. I mean, just over and over, this continues to happen. But we all agree that we do like what Adidas is doing with their shoes. We all agree with that, right?
Yeah.
Another guy that did big things was Obi Melafonwu. I said that right.
Melafonwu.
Did I not say that right?
You said it. You killed it.
Obi, I'm going to assume you did.
Yeah.
Hold on. I have the parenthetical.
The phonetic?
Spell. Yep.
The what? The parent?
The phonetical spelling here.
No. Where were you headed?
You said parenthetical.
It was just in parentheses here on my screen. That's all.
Oh, yeah, of course.
All right. What is it? OBI. What's that?
Obi.
Melifonwu.
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 Obi Melifonwu from UConn.
Oh, that's an F.
44-inch vert, and he jumped over a broad that was 11 foot 9 inches. That's incredible. How
that's
tall is
that? That's a tall lady.
It's a house.
It's a big bitch.
It's a house.
That is the most explosive shit I've ever seen, though. 44-inch vert, broad jump from a standstill. 11 foot 9 inches.
That's incredible.
Have you seen a picture of this guy?
No, he's about to make so much money, though, out of nowhere, just because he's so ridiculously athletic, you can assume he can play football. But you know what they do with potential? You know what potential does, Dicks?
Gets you fired.
Gets coaches fired. That's 100% right. So hopefully this guy's a great football player.
Hold on a second.
He's a freak athlete. John Ross from Washington runs a 4.22. A guy named Jalen Myrick ran a 4.28. A lot of fast, a lot of athletic dudes coming out these days.
Can't teach speed, Pat.
Can't teach speed. That's all the coaches say – Speed beats matchups. Can't teach speed. Speed, speed, speed. That's all the NFL wants.
Go get speed.
You got to be able to.
He's at least worth trying out for kickoff and punt return, right? If you're that fast.
Yeah, you got to.
Just breakout speed.
The thing is, you got to hope he can catch a punt. We made this decision.
He's a hell of a gunner.
Phil Dorsett, you got to hope he can tackle somebody. There's a lot of things that got to go into this. We drafted Phil Dorsett first round after Reggie Wayne left, whenever we had T.Y., Dante Moncrief, and a few other people. It was an interesting decision by all accounts. But we draft him and cut Josh Cribbs the next day to kind of tell the world, like, hey, this guy's going to be our returner, because Josh Cribbs is our returner. And, boy, Phil Dorsett, who's an incredible football player, I'm a big fan of his, great hands, couldn't catch a punt for his life. Couldn't do it. Couldn't catch a punt if he had to. And we forced him. We forced him in the game. He went in against Buffalo. He dropped two punts. They scored a couple touchdowns against us. It was a big deal. Everybody was mad at Phil, but you can't be mad at Phil. You got to be mad at the GM who
put
said,
your players in good situations.
Yeah, that's exactly the case.
How many people are – is that a special skill even amongst wide receivers to be able to
– Not every wide receiver.
Because I've tried to catch your punts.
I can catch a hell of a
very
punt.
Hard.
And that ball does some crazy
you
shit.
You said you can?
Yeah.
Diggs, you ain't never catch an NFL punt before.
Oh, I, 10 out of 10.
Oh, my
have you ever
God.
Caught? Have you ever caught one of his?
Yeah, in high school.
And you also got like 9 guys or 8 guys running down trying to attack you. It's a big time. It's a tough thing. Yeah. Punt returners should get a lot more credit than they get, because if they fuck up, it's the other team scoring a touchdown. A turnover on special teams is guaranteed points for the other team. And you got to be a tough. We got two. Chester Rogers, Quan Bray are really good. Julian Edelman's an incredible returner. There's a lot of really good returners these days, but not everybody can catch a punt. It's a whole different ballgame.
If there's one thing I'm confident in life, it's catching punts.
You shouldn't be. Well, we saw you. We heard about you with a gun last week.
Gun safety.
Shot your fucking sock drawer, thinking you're James Bond. You're a real hero. I mean, you're a real hero.
You know what?
You're a real gangster.
That normalized me.
Humanized.
That's unnormal.
Guys, I had a long weekend. Yeah. The brain is not firing on all cylinders.
Our favorite leader from North Korea, what did he do? What happened with Kim Jong-un?
Oh, guys. I just love that this guy, it's like he's one of our cast members, actually.
He's the sixth host of the Pat McAfee show.
Oh, my gosh. All right, so breaking news. Kim Jong-un fires an ICBM missile into the Sea of Japan in terrifying warning to the U.S. A missile flew across the country towards the east, according to South Korean security officials. They also believe the missile could be their deadly ICBM capable of devastating the U.S. heartland.
What does ICBM stand for?
Intercontinental Booby Machine.
It's definitely ballistic missile.
Intercontinental ballistic missile.
And we're saying...
What's the C then?
Continental.
Oh, my God.
Intercontinental.
How have ballistic you gotten missile. This far in life after hearing intercontinental?
Numbers, Pat. Numbers. Numbers guy.
So this guy shot a missile at...
Four missiles.
He shot at the ocean. He hit dead on.
He aimed at the Sea of Japan and hit. Is that what they're saying? What are they saying?
Well, they're saying that this conveniently happened during the time that South Korea and the U.S. were organizing joint military exercises to prepare for conflict. So they're saying this is a response to that.
Which is such bullshit. I'm calling bullshit on that. He was attempting to either hit America or send those missiles to space, and they both crashed horribly in the Sea of Japan. This is not a success. This is a full fail that people are trying to put together.
And I think he was just simply fishing. Because the guy, as we know, overdoes everything to the extreme. If he kills somebody, flamethrower or anti-aircraft gun. He wanted some sushi. He just started firing missiles into the Sea of Japan.
I don't know.
You're saying he's fishing with dynamite with four of them. You're saying he's fishing with four missiles. He's just trying to take out the entire sea.
I mean, when he does something, he does it.
I don't know. I think critics were saying that he couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat. So he proved to them that he could, in fact, hit the fucking water.
I fucking hate the guy. The fact that we're even scared of him. I mean, remember, just a couple years ago, we all got to see into the North Korean government, into their military, little behind-the-scenes footage of things that he was leaking around the town.
Right.
In the military training was a bunch of North Korean people doing karate in the backyard. That's all it was. They were doing karate. And I'm like, yo, North Korea, you run north into China or Japan where they got MMA, you're fucked, cuz. You are screwed. The fact that people think you can get a missile to us is absurd. That ain't ever going to happen. This was a failed attempt at something. But we're happy he keeps fucking up.
Yeah. I mean,
happy.
The guy, his
he ever gets his shit together.
It's ridiculous.
From one dictator to another, what did Tebow do this weekend?
Oh.
I'm joking. Oh. Tebow made some news, though. What did Tebow do?
Yeah, Tebow, I like much better than Kim Jong-un.
I don't.
He's a much Diggs better person.
I don't.
Diggs, in the pre-show meeting, Diggs was fighting almost harder against Tebow than he was Tebow Kim Jong-un.
Fan. Let's compare him to Kim Jong-un, all right? We know plenty about Kim Jong-un. He's an evil, evil bastard. Tebow, you know, he's in the middle. He's getting ready to play his first spring training games. Decides, I want to become a father to the world. So almost as much as he's known for legendary college football career that didn't quite translate to sustained NFL success.
It was legendary, though. I mean, it is.
Yeah, all right,
his
I'll give him
college
that.
Football
give him that.
Career was legendary.
Yeah, was impressive.
Yeah, he sucked in the NFL.
When you can play running back, a quarterback, yeah. You can.
Guy can't throw.
Tim Tebow is known also for having a strong Christian faith.
Circumcising children, praying every day, John 3:16.
Stayed celibate until marriage.
Guy cut foreskin, isn't married yet, still
right,
celibate.
Still celibate.
And what does he want to do now?
So now he wants to adopt a kid from every continent. One from every continent. That's seven kids, Jason.
That's a lot of kids.
Hey, Todd.
Sounds like a dictator to me.
Todd.
Yeah.
Why yes. does he have to adopt all these kids?
Why? Because yes. he's... Well,
go ahead, ask me.
Boy,
ask
it's dangerous.
Me.
That's a loaded question. I'm going to say...
Nope, didn't ask you. I said ask you to ask me.
Because he feels like it's...
Hey, Pat, why don't you ask me?
It's godlier.
Hey, Diggs, why does Tim Tebow have to adopt seven kids from seven continents to have kids?
Because he can't have his own.
Why is that?
Why can't he have his own? Okay, it's because he's gay.
Wow.
That's your guess.
No,
that,
no.
Wow.
When you're that good looking,
uh-huh.
Okay, we could all agree on that.
Well, maybe somebody
he's
else
very
is
attractive.
Feeling a little gay right now.
Do you want to fuck him?
No.
Maybe you would.
There's nothing wrong with it.
I'm pretty comfortable with myself. So, yeah, nothing wrong with it. It's 2017.
Right.
But you're that good looking and you're that famous. You should have at least had a kid accidentally by now.
So you're saying his pullout game should not be as strong? He hasn't had
even
sex.
Even if he's sex. Religious, I know there's a lot of girls out there who probably went down on him and saved it.
Right.
His sperm.
Easy. Jesus Christ.
They do that.
This is unbelievable where you're heading right now.
They do that.
So you're saying he's gay but has gotten head from women who have saved kids?
Well, maybe it doesn't all tie together, but...
Maybe this isn't a foolproof
thing. I've said on the show before, I say things and then I'll think about them later and okay. They don't always add up. But.
Anyways, Tebow wants to adopt seven kids. The Antarctica kid is going to be very full of grit. I mean, if you grew up in Antarctica, I don't even think you exist. Hey, but that goddamn kid is going to be tough. Right? Is he going
right?
to be
yeah.
tough?
I've seen Antarctica.
The only people that live there work at research stations.
Or
so.
Kate Upton went there for an SI shoot. It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she did. But they're there studying the polar caps to tell us if global mm-hmm. warming is real or not.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Those people aren't giving away their kids.
A lot of ice.
They got good jobs.
And if they do?
Right.
They're dickheads.
Assholes.
They're horrible people.
Asshole scientists. Yeah, it's true. So what are the seven continents? You got Antarctica. You got China. You got Europe.
China.
North Korea, obviously,
yeah,
is
yeah,
one.
Yeah, North Korea. You got Asia.
You were
Asia,
saying those
Africa, North America, South America, Europe, Australia, and Antarctica. I didn't really. Yeah, I forgot about Australia. I didn't know it was his own continent.
So he wants
it's
one.
His own country,
he wants
continent.
One yeah. kid from each continent.
Yeah.
He's the Noah.
Who do you think is yeah, going to be his
he
favorite?
He wants to build the Noah Ark of humans.
Who do you think is going to be his favorite?
The Australian.
Absolutely.
That's what I was going to go with.
The Australian.
Because he's going to have the coolest accent.
Hey, good day there, Conte.
Hello, Dad.
Conte there. Hey, how about that? No, but he's trying to be Noah's Ark of humans, and I respect it.
Yeah.
Noah had a lot of logistical problems that I have a problem with.
Do you think he's good? Noah, did you know this? Noah, 80 years to build that damn ship.
80
years to build that
I had no
ark.
Idea.
80. Do you think
because you can back then you only lived to be 10?
No, that is completely wrong. They didn't choose to change. God changed the year, the length to 102.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
The day was only 102 years back then. 102 days.
No, God
he forgot to set a lifespan.
Yeah, he forgot to, he, when he made the oh. whole when he made the whole thing. Whenever
these
he,
assholes are living way too long.
They're getting too evil. He said. Yeah. He said. I actually know this because I got a chance to talk to a chaplain this year. Works for the Colts. Guys paid to answer my questions.
Well, there you go.
So I asked him real questions.
So everyone lived to be 800.
I don't know if everybody made it, but I know Noah's like the second longest living human in history.
Behind.
Right.
There's one other person right there above it. It's only like a 20-year difference.
God's not a human.
God's still living.
Jesus.
Yeah, stop it. And that guy died and then came back. So
I didn't go to
real.
CCD class.
But
I think it's Larry King, isn't it? I think he's the oldest living human.
Anyways, 80 years to build the Ark.
Okay.
First documented blackout in the history of mankind. You know who it is? Noah. It's in the Bible.
Do you know what he drank?
Wine from his own vineyard. His kids found him naked in his tent the next day. They didn't say he blacked out, but we've all been there.
You can make that assumption.
We've all been there.
I bet you 800 years Noah had a few kids.
Yeah, I'm assuming he had a lot of kids.
Or like, is it in the
they're
book?
They're all in, they're
is
all
it in
that,
the book?
They all helped.
They all helped build. It was.
Oh.
Yeah, it's just like what's his face? Steve Carell.
Evan Almighty. And the animals helped in that one. The kids and mom left him. They like divorced him for a little bit.
I'm assuming that happened to Noah, too. Whenever you're building a boat for 80 years, people are going to get a little frustrated.
Are you done yet?
Yeah,
are
what's you done going yet? On here? Anyway, so Tebow wants to do that. He has Major League Baseball season coming up, which is awesome, by the way. I am a big fan of this whole thing. I hope it works out for him.
I do, too.
His college football career was second to none. I mean, there's probably...
Pretty great.
It was incredible.
He was solid.
Didn't work out in the NFL. Everybody wanted him to work out.
Do you think he was just playing the wrong position? Everybody says probably could be the best tight end to ever
Can't
play.
Block.
Would not have done that.
Can't block. Can't block. We saw him whenever he was playing PP for punt teams, not in a gay way. PP is the personal protector, Diggs, you fucking idiot. And he couldn't block anybody. We were going to rush him, and then they ran a fake against us because Tim Tebow threw it to the slot.
I was just attacked for no reason.
Well, I saw your wheel spinning whenever I said he was a PP.
But has he ever had to work at being a blocker?
No, I don't think he...
So maybe if you put him in a camp?
No? At that level of blocking humans, especially at tight end, you got outside linebackers. But anyways, I hope he does very well at baseball for the Mets. And to join us to give us a little insight about the Mets is my former strength coach from West Virginia University. Then he went to Michigan. Now he owns a bunch of gyms across the country. He's got one opening up in LA soon, titled Barwis Methods. He is the New York Mets strength and conditioning coordinator, I believe, which is fantastic. Good friend of mine, family of mine, true animal monster. One of my favorite humans living, breathing. He had a show called American Muscle on Discovery Channel that they didn't edit properly. It should still be on. It was the producer's fault, not this guy's fault. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Mike Barwis. Mike, what's up, guy?
My brother, how we doing?
Goddamn, goddamn, goddamn. We got to make
sure we're recording. What's the word, Big Diesel?
Mike, is Tim Tebow going to be a good MLB player?
Is he going to be a good MLB player? I mean, the guy's as athletic as it gets. There's no question.
Whoa, wait. Now, there is a little split room.
This guy knows what he's talking about.
I like that. Go ahead. Go on, though.
He can play just about anything he wants. I mean, he's definitely gifted in every facet athletically. So, in my opinion, if he wants to be a good player and he's committed, he's got a darn good shot of making it happen.
Now, did he work out with you? I understand the NFL, some guys don't work out with their strength coaches. It's very normal. You are the strength conditioning coordinator for the Mets. Is that correct?
Yeah, so I oversee the New York Mets organization. I'm actually the senior advisor and then the for strength and conditioning. And then I oversee different all their different levels. And then they have strength and conditioning coaches at each level. He's currently playing in the minor leagues, so he has a specific strength and conditioning coach for his team.
Was he at every workout? Is he like as committed as everything? Is like he's the perfect teammate. He's a hard worker. He always says the right things. I met him 5 times at the College Football Awards in one weekend because he forgot who the hell I was. So I don't know how the whole politician thing works out. But is he just like an incredibly hard worker, good guy, like everybody says?
Yeah, I mean, he's a world-class human being. I mean, he's all about helping other people. He's committed to the community and to his fans. He's an incredibly focused individual who's in tremendous condition, and there's no question he likes training. I mean, that's definitely something that's been a major fortification to his program in football and in baseball. So he's a strong, tough kid that works hard. I mean, there's no question there.
He wants to adopt 7 kids from 7 continents, including Antarctica. What the fuck does that mean, Mike?
Now that I can't answer.
Hey, Mike, you're operating on full cylinders, man. It's a lot of fun to kind of watch you on the internet. So for those of you who don't know, and most of you wouldn't, I never lifted a single weight in high school, not a single one. I played soccer. I kicked on Fridays. I did not lift. I was just a natural monster. Then I get to college. I come in early. Our class was the first class that could come in summer. So we came in like a month and a half before training camp as freshmen. And I met this dude named Mike Barwis. And I said, what the fuck just happened? You are a complete different level. If you remember, could you go through like one of our first summer runs? Just explain to people what we did, what we used to do.
So I'd say your introduction was rather abrasive. Let's put it that way. So, Pat came in One, people don't realize the athlete Pat McAfee is. You know, he's maybe funny. Everybody sees that part of him. They see his talent, you know, in the NFL, kicking balls, obviously. He can do anything.
This
the guy
is terrible.
Can throw the ball. He can kick the ball. He can run. He's a pure athlete.
My man! Keep him going, Mike!
This guy is different than what you would constitute as a punter or a kicker in most people's minds. He is a world-class athlete.
Thank
guy
you.
Can play soccer.
Thank you.
Guy can compete in anything.
I like this,
so
Mike. I like this a lot.
He comes in with a mentality that, you know, he's ready to work. He can conquer anything, and first workout, we went about 2 hours on their legs.
It was a fucking nightmare.
It was a tornado. By the time we were done, they thought it was over, and we were just getting ready to run. So with legs that are semi-non-functioning at this point, we turned around and opened up with a couple fifth-of-a-mile sprints.
Four of them. I remember it like it was yesterday. Yep, four of them.
Four fifth-of-a-mile sprints. We followed that up with 10 1-10s. We went from that to 640s. Went from that to 3 1-20s. And then we topped it off with a 300 shuttle.
And it was at that exact
rest ratio.
It was at that exact moment I said, I quit soccer to run less. And here I am, a marathon into this thing, and this is day one. You were doing that to make people quit? Is that what that was?
Listen, you know what? The mental and physical toughness are both attributes in the game of football. And if a man can find out what's inside him and has to push himself to a physical limitation that he has deemed unimaginable, I promise you, at some point when the adversaries rise, he will be the person that's waiting for that shot.
Jesus.
And in my opinion, if you can take a guy like a Pat McAfee with incredible talent, incredible ability, and you can add power, strength, and a mental fortification that is beyond that of anyone he ever will oppose in the game of football, you equate that to success. And you end up seeing a guy that's a multi-time All-Pro and is well deserving of it. You look at his career and the success you've had. Nobody's worked harder to be there. That I promise you.
I love that. I couldn't even hang clean the bar when I got there. That's a true story.
I remember my wife yelling at you. Believe me.
His wife was our strength coach. Autumn is her name. She's a beautiful, wonderful person, a WVU alumni, and at that point, her last name was Speck, so we just called her Speck. And Speck was assigned, I don't know why you assigned her to me, but it was a very, very good relationship. She used to just chew me out. I would just take it because most of the time I was hungover. You agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I couldn't even lift the bar, and by the end of it, I felt like a whole new man. So I owe a lot to you, Mike, so I just wanted to thank you for that, brother.
You know what? It was my honor. I didn't do anything special. I just get to work with special people like you, and that's given me a – you know, more than you could that I could ever have given to you. I promise you that, my man.
So after West Virginia, you went up to Michigan with Rich Rod. Was that a lot different than you expected?
You know, it's a different feel. You know, Michigan and West Virginia are, you know, they're very, very different places. You know, West Virginia is a lot of blue collar coal miners and steel mill workers from Pittsburgh and a very different environment. Michigan is a very affluent, a lot of master's degrees, PhDs.
Hold on. What you meant to say is the guys that went and played at West Virginia had no other options. That's what you're saying?
No, man. I tell you what, the guys at West Virginia, the environment they were in, I would say the community is very different. Players, I saw guys at West Virginia were hardcore tough kids, and I saw guys at Michigan were hardcore tough kids.
Gotcha.
I would say the biggest difference was probably in the actual academic environment and the community that surrounded it.
No, smarter kids is what you're saying, Mike. A lot smarter group to work with once you got up north.
No, we have some smart kids. Pat's a pretty smart guy now. Don't let him fool you. He pretends he's not, but he's a pretty damn smart guy.
I didn't attend a lot of classes, but I agree completely. I assume Michigan would be a much different atmosphere. But after Michigan, you went on and started opening up your own gyms, which we all kind of expected, because anytime that you work out with him, it's just a complete different animal. It literally is a complete, like, I would not work out with you right now. I'm gonna be honest, because I'm rich. I wasn't rich back then. I had a chip on my shoulder, a lot of grit, something to prove. I need to make money here. Now I have it. I don't know if I can make it through a Mike Barwas workout, but then you opened your gyms, and that's been expanding exponentially. Is that correct?
Yeah, you know, we've got now four in Michigan. We've got One that we do in the New York Mets facility in Port St. Lucie, Florida. It's actually attached to the baseball stadium. And then we're working on another one in Miami. We just opened one in the country of Georgia, Tbilisi, Georgia. And we're working on one in L.A. right now. So it's growing pretty rapidly, no question there.
Is it the work? What are the workouts? I couldn't fathom some mom or businessman walking in there and being like, oh, hi, how's it going? I'm looking to get in shape for summer. Yeah, what do you guys got? And then you being like, hey, bitch, hypertrophy tomorrow.
No, we don't usually do that to people's mothers, but we still do that to the athletes. That I promise you. So,
what is hypertrophy? Can you explain this? Have you ever heard of this?
Hypertrophy is it's actually a term for increasing cross-sectional area of a muscle cell. So hypertrophication means we increase the cross-sectional area of a muscle cell. So you're looking at mass. We're creating a little bit of mass in the fiber so that you can recruit more sarcomeres into conversions for max strength. So it's hell, to be honest.
Listen, let's talk about this.
In the layman's term, it's hell.
You cannot use words in a definition of a word that we don't know. More words that we don't know. Basically, explain one hypertrophy workout real quick. Just please explain one.
You know, if we're going through a hypertrophication workout, there's several different types, but the ones you went through are very anaerobic. Yeah. They were exercises that, you know, high repetitions till absolute fatigue, followed by significant stress in the same muscle group. So we'd go from like a squat, 3 sets of 10, back-to-back with plyo jumps in between, turn around and go right from that to leg curls, same thing, from that to a reverse leg curl, from that to a glute ham raise, and you're not getting really any rest whatsoever.
None. There's zero rest. You're getting yelled at by him and his wife more than you've ever been.
Worst workout imaginable. That's all you had to say.
That's all you had to say.
Worst workout imaginable.
It sounds phenomenal.
I would say it constitutes straight hell. I mean, you're in a position where most of the time we're spending more time carrying trash cans to get people to throw up in than we are getting to the next exercise. So.
And I can't imagine anybody that just strolls into your gym asks for that or expects that. But in the days that you do that, I would like to come in there and film, if that's possible.
You're welcome anytime. They did it for the TV show, and we had people in fetal positions. So it was when grown men are curling up in the fetal position, you know you're working hard.
The show that you just mentioned was on Discovery. The thing they didn't do right was you are like curing people who have like paralysis and like can't walk, and you're like working out and making them walk again. Can you tell us a couple stories, then we'll let you go real quick?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, when I was at Michigan, you know, when I left West Virginia and went to Michigan, one of the first people I met there was a young man named Elliot Mueller. And Elliot was a offensive lineman who was recruited by the previous coach. And he came in, he was in a sling, and I met him that day right after we won the Fiesta Bowl, in fact.
Good win, by the way.
Beat the hell out of Oklahoma. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was.
But right after that game, I flew straight back home, flew straight from home to Michigan. And when I saw this young man, he came into me and he said, hey, coach, I'd seen something on TV with you doing motivational stuff. And he said, my brother's in the hospital. Would you mind going and seeing him? So I actually took a trip with him and our offensive line coach. And we went to the hospital to visit him. It was a young man named Brock Mueller. Who they were coming home from church Christmas Eve. They stopped at a stop sign. A 90-year-old man ran the stop sign and hit him broadside, going ridiculous mile speed and caused a significant issue. He killed Elliot's father, paralyzed Brock from the waist down, killed Elliot's girlfriend, and his mother was the only one who got out unscathed. And Elliot actually ripped his shoulder out of the socket, tearing the door and the window off the hinges to get his brother out of the car.
Jesus.
So it was a pretty horrible situation. And he asked me if I would go see him. And I know I'm definitely crazy and wild, but I do everything I do because I love people.
Yeah.
So I told him I would. And I went over to the hospital and visited with him. And they had already told him he'd never walk again, that he was paralyzed, and this was going to be the rest of his life. But he was positive. And you know me, man, I'm always looking for an answer. I'm always looking to try and make someone's life better and give something of myself to help someone else. And I told him, I said, listen, my background's in physiology, and I don't know the answer, nor do they. So the reality is at this point, you know, it's between you and the big man. If the big man wills it and you're willing to do the work, then you can make it happen. So I wouldn't listen to what they're telling you. I'd go to work and make it happen. Don't sit around thinking that life's over. And you know, when I left, I think the lady said that guy's a psychotic lunatic.
Well, you are. Hold on, she was not wrong. Let's not get crazy.
Accurate.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yep. So when I left, you know, we ended up, I kind of befriended him, and as I was training Elliot, and Elliot actually trained him all the way through, and then he trained with me for the combine. He ended up playing for the new for the Saints, so he's a lineman for the Saints. But his brother used to come to practice, you know, and we kind of wheel him around and mess with him and throw him the football and everything else. And you know, he wasn't getting any better. You know, he'd keep coming in after a couple years, you know, of kind of bringing him over and everybody hanging out with him and him being a part of the team. He still was unable to walk. So in his second year, they cut off his insurance and told him that that was the end of it. And that, you know, you're never going to walk again and we can't fund it because it's not effective. It's not going to happen. So I talked to his mother and he was pretty distraught. And when I did, I told her I would talk to him because his father was gone. And I did. I asked him, I said, you know, you want to walk or not? And he got kind of pissed off at me. He said, yeah, I want to walk. I mean, that's what I'm doing. I said, well, then get your ass in here in the morning and we'll go to work. You know, no more excuses. If you want to change it, you got to do what you got to do to make it happen. Life only changes if you're willing to take action.
Jesus.
And the kid embraced it. He said, I'm here. So myself and some members of my staff, we started working with him. And in 6 weeks, we had a twitch. In 6 months, he let us out of the tunnel for the season opener. On canes and his own legs, in front of 110,000 people against UConn. He touched the banner. It's the loudest in the history of University of Michigan football in that stadium.
Barwis, it's getting dusty in here right now. I'm like, cry, this is so
the greatest
awesome.
Story of all time.
Yeah, it's incredible.
So it actually won an Emmy on the Big Ten Network. It's a Brock Miller Big Ten Network piece. And I met him at the 50, or, you know, halfway across the field, 50-yard line and halfway across the field because I didn't want to walk. It was his time and his family's time. It's between him and his family and God, and he got to show you know, a lot of people, a few million people, that anything's possible if you're willing to make the sacrifice and you stay committed. And you know, he helped a lot of people. I got a little dust in my eye. I told the guys it was funny. When we got to the sideline, he looked at me and he said, Coach, you crying? I looked at him, I said, no, if you could walk right, you wouldn't be kicking damn dirt in my face. He hit me in the back of the head. He said, you're still a prick. But, you know, it was by far, I mean, I've got 20-some championship rings. And I'll tell you, none of them have any value in comparison to watching that young man walk.
That's the coolest thing I've awesome. Ever heard Incredible. In my entire life. And he's I keep up with you on the internet at Barwis Methods, both on Instagram and Facebook. You do this a lot, though, and I think that the American Muscle Show is trying to, like, show you yell at professional athletes and that stuff, but you making people walk again is incredible, and I hope you can – big bravo from us, yes. man. I hope you continue to
Thank
do that.
God.
You're the best. Hey, do you think – I got a couple quick questions about strength and conditioning. John Ross runs a 4.22, fastest time in history. Will that be beaten within a year or 2 years? Do you think people are just going to get faster and faster and faster?
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. I mean, with the resources these young kids have now and the training that starts at such an early age, the technology, the fundamentals, the techniques, and the biomechanics that are assessed, there's no question. Nutrition, I mean, every aspect is really addressed at this point. Kids are just going to continue to get faster and faster. And you know, he may have the record now, but you better hold on because some young guy's driving for it right now, I promise you.
Should he have taken the island, do you think? Should he have worn Adidas and taken the island?
I don't know. An island's a nice thing to have, man. I'm not going to lie to you. They can't take the island back. You got your own island. You're in good shape.
Real estate, they say. You have real estate, you have something for the rest of your life. That's what I was thinking. Diggs, you have a question for?
Yeah, Mike, I had a quick question. So since you've trained so many people, I wanted to know who the most freakish athlete that you've ever worked with is.
So I've worked with 42 sports and over 5,000 Olympic and professional athletes. So there's quite a few of them. So
there is a right answer.
Yeah.
Besides Pat.
Thank you. So who's the number
no,
two?
No, we mean freakish in athletic sense.
I've seen some amazing ones. I mean, every sport is unique. I mean, you look at wrestling, Kerry Collett has some of the most amazing endurance I've ever seen in my life. If you look at the game of football and you're looking at, I'll tell you what, Jerry Porter played for West Virginia and was a three-sport athlete. He was recruited to Kentucky for basketball out of high school. He was drafted to Major League Baseball, and he played college football. He was ambidextrous. He could throw a ball 60 yards with each hand. Kid ran a 4.3 something, 40 at 200. And I mean, he was a freak, 40-some inch vertical. There's guys in every sport. But then you take a guy and you say, okay, well, now I've got a guy that's 320 pounds. I mean, I just trained Malik McDowell for the NFL Combine, and Malik ran a 4.85 at 295 pounds. That's a pretty freaky guy, too.
That's scary.
So, imagine trying to, like, imagine accidentally pissing that guy off.
That's like what Dontari Poe ran at, like, 300-some pounds.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous. So there's those guys really in every sport. I mean, you're going to find Jonas Cespedes. I mean, he's an absolute mutant. I mean, the guy does things with one leg that most humans can't do with two. And I've seen him, you know, at his age, jumping on 50-inch boxes coming off of a 1,000-pound bear squat. I mean, that's just it's a different human being.
The fact that that fucking workout was even happening proves that you are even more of a lunatic. Did you hear what he just said?
Yeah,
that guy
I did.
Like, somebody was telling him to do that. You know who the fuck that was? This guy on the goddamn phone.
He was squatting a bear.
Squatting a bear! How many kids?
Big bear at that.
How many kids do you have now?
I've got four kids.
I saw your daughter doing like a press-up handstand from a seated position that was so impressive. I don't know how old she is, but she's going to be on the USA gymnastics team, and I can't wait to watch that.
She's got way better genetics than me. She gets it from her mother, hallelujah. But they, the kids are different. You know, my 5-year-old, she just turned 5, can sit in a straddled position and lift her entire body with her fingers and roll it up around her body into a handstand and come back. So they have some genetic strength. There's no question there, and, you know, they just got to be able to manifest it in the right direction and do what they're supposed to do. I don't care if they play the flute, tennis, or they end up a librarian. Doesn't make any difference to me. As long as they do it to the best of their ability and they're happy, I'm happy for them.
Well, you got a beautiful family. I appreciate you greatly coming on. I'm not sure if you still have the pet wolf or not. Do you?
No, both wolves. So I had the one wolf 17 years and the other one 14 years. Model set them from birth. Raised them both. One was over 200
pounds. Two wolves!
And they were different. You know, he used to put his paws on my shoulder and look down at me. He was 6'8", 6'8" inches long from the tip of his toes to the tip of his nose. So.
Do you think Arian Foster could beat up a wolf? We're about to talk to him. Do you think he could beat up a wolf?
I don't think he wants anything to do with a 200-pound wolf. That'd be a nasty situation. Those teeth make that thing pretty lethal.
Well, he has a lot of reasoning behind it, but I'm very happy I remembered that you had a pet wolf, let alone two of them. You are one of the most incredible humans I've ever encountered in my life. My family loves you. I'm very thankful for everything you've done for me. Thanks for coming on the show. I hope to talk to you again. All right, Mike?
Anytime, man. I'll tell you what. You always have a place in my heart, my wife's heart, and we love you very much, man. We appreciate everything you've done, and the character that you've displayed with the abilities you have and what you've done with your career and continued to do for people in need is a blessing to all, and I'm very proud of you, man.
Well, that means a lot coming through. It really does, and I appreciate that greatly, Mike. We'll talk again soon, all right?
All right, guys. Have a great day.
All right, love you, brother. See you, man.
All right, love you too, man.
See you, brother. What a fucking human. Huh?
That story was incredible.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
That's the most interesting human on earth.
Yeah, that was I was about to tear up.
I was crying over here. Yeah. I couldn't even interject. I was crying during the whole thing. This guy is just, when you meet him, he's just, look up, if you get bored, just go look up some Mike Barwis motivational speeches. Mm-hmm. He's just looking at a camera because they were filming a bunch of promos for his show.
Uh-huh.
He was just looking in a camera just like, it was just him and the camera.
I
asked him, I was like, how are you giving these speeches? He said, they just give me a camera in my office. And it's just me and the camera. And it's just like, he like works himself up. He like acts like he's, before every game at West Virginia, he would come in and give a war speech that at the end of it was like, let's go kill these motherfuckers. And like the whole place was ready to rock. And then Rich Rod would come in. Let's get our prayer. We pray to the Lord. Yes, yeah, so we're ready to go to war. And then we pray to the Lord. But that guy is amazing, man. What a fucking conversation that was. I had no idea where that was going. Planned one question. Is Tebow going to make it in the MLB? And did you hear where we went to there? That was unreal.
I love it.
That guy's workouts were insane.
It's the Pat McAfee show
like
difference.
It. Sounds like buds for becoming a SEAL.
It really is. And yeah. I have a lot of the utmost respect for the military. Thank you so much to all of those men and women who are serving, who have served, who will serve in the future. You're all badasses. But going through those workouts at a few different points, my friends and I would be laid up in a dorm room, not able to walk, just kind of staring at each other. And we'd be like, this has got to be like the fucking Navy SEALs. Like, how much worse could the Navy SEALs have it? And they do it all underwater. That's the difference. Yeah. That was the difference we found out, was oxygen. And that's right. The only difference. But the workouts were in fucking sane.
Mm.
So he said Tim Tebow is going to be good, though.
He said it.
And you hate Tim Tebow. This is coming from Diggs, if you do recall, before that conversation, said Tim Tebow was gay.
We don't have to
rehash that. He's going to be playing in the majors. He's in minors right now. I think that's just...
You know me. I just don't like clean-cut athletes.
You do. You like a little edge.
He's about as clean-cut as it gets.
He's
maybe.
The picture of clean-cut.
Until you go in the closet.
Why did... This isn't.
There's anything wrong with that. I might want to make sure that everyone knows.
You just heard a testimonial from a guy who knows him pretty well. The guy's very charitable. He's a good human.
Oh, Todd,
get off.
You got
to calm down.
The guy does cut little boys' foreskin.
Sure. Listen,
which I respect.
Yeah. I know. I remember one time.
Not at all.
One of my cousin, his kid was sick. And
Tebow cured him?
Well, no, but this is serious, Diggs.
Oh, my bad.
Asshole, Diggs.
Read the room,
Diggs. Did you not hear? We just were crying a couple minutes ago.
He said to me, I mean, he was like, he would call me Uncle Todd, even though I wasn't an uncle. And he said, Uncle Todd, I just always wanted to go see a musical. And I was like, well, I'll make that happen. But I got to be honest with you, getting tickets to sports and concerts.
You're such a fucking
can be so complicated and confusing.
And how long ago was this?
This was probably 3 years ago.
So
and now I just wish, after hearing that story, I wish SeatGeek was around then, because it's such an easier, simpler way to buy tickets.
Could you imagine how cool Uncle Todd would have been if he knew about SeatGeek at that time?
If only, yeah. Yeah,
could have made it to that musical.
I could have been the favorite uncle. And got him to that musical.
Diggs was ready to kill himself.
It's the first time I've felt anything in years.
But here's the deal, Diggs. Now I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest one.
I'm so sorry. If you could have seen Diggs, he was ready to kill himself. Oh, my God. That's awesome.
I didn't think I could feel anymore.
That is so awesome.
But now I have the SeatGeek app.
Fuck you, Todd.
And it's the easiest, simplest way. I found a shop for tickets, Nick. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats. I actually just used it recently to get tickets to the Pacers game. It's awesome. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals.
So they're looking out for you. They're your guy. You now have a guy in the ticket business.
Yeah, they're like an agent for you. Yeah. You got a $60 budget to spend on tickets?
Bang.
Boom. They go through all the sites, find you the best deal for
your
$60.
And they're not going to catfish you. What you want is what you're going to get. It's not like everybody's Tinder, Bumble, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram profile pictures that have pictures of them whenever they were attractive before they hit the what the fuck happens tree. This is
real.
This is not catfish.
Yeah.
And it's all from one geek. What's his name?
SeatGeek. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals at every type of ticket, from sports, concerts, to comedy and theater. If a kid's in need and wants to go to a musical,
Uncle Todd.
This is the site. Uncle Todd could have saved the day.
Uncle Todd's
now
an
I can. It's you, now you can. And most importantly, if you're a listener of this podcast, SeatGeek's going to reward you by giving you a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase.
Okay.
That's a big deal. That's like an $80 value if you have a 20, you know what I mean. $20 on top.
That's
33% of your original budget.
If you do the math.
Boom, they'll send it to you. To get your $20 rebate, you need to do a few simple things. First of all, Jay, what do you got to do first?
Download the app.
Wrong. You miss it every time.
Find your phone.
What is it, Pat?
That has capable of downloading apps.
No, you got to get a smartphone. Todd, thank you for asking me, not you, Jason. You have to buy a smartphone, preferably an iPhone, so everybody doesn't bitch about the iTunes having the podcast without the Android.
So our group text threads aren't green.
Yeah, thank you.
God,
and so we can
worst.
Just talk with just Wi-Fi, no service, neither here nor there. So you get a smartphone. That's the first step, Jay. Learn the fucking rules.
Step number two. I'll give you another chance, Jason.
Download the app.
Download the SeatGeek app. Very good. And then step number three, Nick.
Go into the settings.
Yes.
Wow, you know this app.
And click the add a promo code and enter the promo code what, Diggs?
Pat.
Pat, capital
that's,
P.
That's P as in pterodactyl, A as in apple, T as in Tetris. Make it happen.
SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter your promo code PAT today.
Unbelievable.
Wow. That's probably one of the best moments I've ever had in my life, watching Diggs, because we did come
We're probably going to have to go to the tape.
Diggs, because really, we did have an emotional moment there with the Mueller story, or the Brock Mueller story. Uh-huh. So you thought it was possible that that's what was happening. I've never seen you more uncomfortable, ever.
The mental, I've never been more uncomfortable.
The mental workout I just put you through, pretty comparable to Mike's workout.
Almost.
That he's been putting his players through.
Real estate, Portnoy would say. Real estate in your fucking head.
He's renting space up here.
Unbelievable. Well, now it's time to get to what everybody's been waiting for. This is a conversation I'm very excited for.
I can't wait.
The guy on the phone right now put the world into a blender on Sunday whenever he went on a Twitter rant about possibly beating the hell out of a wolf. He's a four-time Pro Bowler, two-time NFL rushing TD leader. He has 6,527 total rushing yards in his career. He holds the Texans franchise records for rushing TDs and for yards. He went to college in Tennessee, and somehow he was an undrafted free agent the same year I was drafted. That means somebody fucked up. Ladies and gentlemen, an incredible athlete, an incredible person, and I'm very excited to hear about how he's going to beat the hell out of a wolf, Arian Foster. Arian, how's it going, brother?
What's up, bro? How you doing, man?
I'm good. First things first, how's retirement, man? We're fighting wolves all of a sudden. I'm a big fan of what's going on. What are you up to?
Definitely not fighting wolves, man, but just relaxing, man. Just enjoying life right now. I'm not doing much. Just trying to regain the ambition to do things after 20-plus years of playing ball, man. So right now, I'm just relaxing and looking at other passions I'm about to pursue, man.
So let's get right into it. On Sunday, I think this is how this went, and you tell me if I'm right. You were thinking aloud to your Twitter followers. You're like, I wouldn't mind going camping. And then all of a sudden, it's like, well, wait a motherfucking minute. There's some stuff in nature that could scare the hell out of me. And then you're like, but what are the – I could beat a wolf. I mean, I could beat up a wolf. And then you go on a nice rant explaining why you could beat up a wolf. And I'm going to be honest. There's a couple of people in this room, myself included, who are 100% on your side. So I just want to kind of see how this all came to fruition.
I appreciate the support, man. But I started this is some weird shit to talk about.
I agree.
You know, you just Twitter. You know, Twitter, man. Twitter's a weird place, and you just kind of just shoot the shit and talk to your followers. And I'm real active on there. I got back active on there, and I was just talking about how I want to go camping. And then I said, you know, I'm scared of like bears and like cougars and like stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then I'm start thinking about the stuff like if I'm in a dangerous situation, I feel like I could get a wolf one-on-one. and then people, it was crazy how defensive people are about.
They love the wolves.
They love the wolves.
Yeah, like I'm not hunting. Like I've never killed an animal in my life, man. I once caught a fish and threw it back just because I couldn't stand to see it not breathe. So I'm not hunting wolves, man. But I just feel like if it's a one-on-one dangerous situation, like it's my life or his. Like you know, I got cubs too. You know, so it's like. I'm gonna do what I have to do, but you know it's crazy how like paranoid people are about that. Like I didn't know it was such a serious. It's been a weird day, man.
I couldn't even fathom it because people started coming back to you with some alternative facts, if you will. They said immediately that the wolf knows where your artery is and it would kill you.
Yeah, man, that was weird. They're like, he knows where you are. I'm like, come on, man. A wolf doesn't know what an artery is. And like, yeah, I think they lunge and they go for the neck naturally through evolutionary process that has worked for them for thousands of years. I would give you that. But to assert that a wolf knows that's what an artery is, like, that's ridiculous, man. Like, and then it just keeps going. Then one guy tells me he seeks out heat. In my body, like that's infrared. So now the wolf it's ridiculous. I feel like we through fairy tales and stuff. Like I feel like the wolf has kind of been put on this pedestal.
Yeah,
but
don't put the wolf on the pedestal, man.
There are some big ass wolves. Don't get me to it. Like there are some big ass wolves that I wouldn't want to see one on one. But then there are some small wolves that, like, if I caught one by itself, he caught me by myself, and you put it like that.
So you would say, like, the werewolf you're not talking about. Because you even mentioned numerous times, because when people are like, well, you know, you're going to beat up a bear, you're like, it's not a bear. I'm not talking about a bear. I'm talking about a wolf. You're talking about just an average, basic-ass wolf. You think no problem.
I'm not saying no problem. I'm not even saying I wouldn't lose a limb. That's not what I'm saying. In a life or death situation, like, I'm coming out on top with a regular wolf.
Yeah,
like,
you got kids. Regular wolf.
Yeah, for sure.
And one of my favorite things you said in this whole thing, and I don't know if you've talked about it anywhere else, but I'm excited to hear it. You mentioned that you have the ability to read websites and books and watch film on the wolf, and the wolf does not have such capability. And this being an ex-NFL player who I'm assuming you had an incredible career, four-time Pro Bowler, you watched a lot of film, you think this is a gigantic advantage over the wolf. Is that right?
I don't see how anybody like wouldn't see it that way. So it's like, if you... You have to, like, understand, okay, if we fighting, like, if I'm fighting a wolf and I know I'm going to go fight a wolf, like, I know that's a wolf, right? He doesn't really know. He might have seen my species before, but he doesn't know what my species is capable of unless he's ran into my species before, which is rare, and then fought one of my species before, which is even more rare. So it's like, I feel like it just gives me a little bit more of an advantage. Man, this shit is weird. I'm
not. Hold on, though. I have a little fact for you that we found digging through the internet for you that is going to back you up even more. Nick, go with that.
So, Arian, this was verified by game biologists. So, real scientists found this out, that C. Dale Peterson of Jackson Hole, Wyoming, is one of only two men known to have killed a grizzly bear with his bare hands.
Oh, shit.
So if that guy did it, you've run for 6,527 yards. If that guy did it, I'm assuming Arian can do it. I'm just assuming with everything I have in me. That
he bit the bear's jugular till the bear passed out.
Studied film.
And then beat his head in.
Well, here's the thing, Arian. I mean, there's no doubt you seriously upset the wolf-loving community on Twitter. But there, much in the bear story, they're not taking into consideration that you're talking about a fight for your life. So you're 100% committed to survival at that point, and you're a physical specimen. They're underestimating what the human is capable of doing.
I feel like that's what had been missing from the conversation, or people that are saying, no, you can't beat up a wolf. It's like, you know, like, they're like, oh, man, he's bred to kill. And yeah, I was like, so what? Like, I have survival instincts as well. And on top of that, like, I've lifted weights my whole life. I've ran my whole life. Like, I'm a little bit of a physical specimen. I'm not saying I'm the most, but I'm saying I've done my fair share of calisthenics, and I feel like one-on-one, man, I just don't see how his, given all those factors, especially me knowing what I know about the wolf, and, like, I could pick up weapons. Like I said, I'm not saying I'm coming into the fight with a knife or whatever. I wouldn't be caught dead without a gun or a knife in the woods anyway. But I could pick up a stick and jam it in his throat. Like, he can't pick anything up.
No,
like,
no thumbs.
Yeah, no thumbs.
The thumbs are gigantic advantage. You tweeted about that a little bit. Not talked about enough also in this whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's missing from the conversation is our rational thinking.
Humans.
Yeah.
Well, right. The big thing here is, I think after this conversation that we just had here, I can't believe anybody bet against you.
We ruined the Vegas odds by this conversation.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
I mean, Yahoo Sports took a poll, man, and I won. I was like 56 to whatever the...
I voted for you.
I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, we're all behind you.
Yeah. I mean, you thumb pop a wolf's eye out of socket. Whoop! How tough's a wolf then? You know what I mean?
And also what they're not counting out is like wolves are rarely caught alone, right? So
yeah, they're pack hunters.
Yeah, they're pack hunters.
They're
so
punks.
The wolf alone, odds are he runs away. In that case, it was still a fight.
A win.
That's a win.
Yeah, he just fled, so I won anyway.
Yeah, he quit. That's a tap out if the wolf leaves. Now let's talk about some other stuff. I think we all agree that you've beat up the wolf. In this room, all in favor? Yeah, he wins. All right, good for you, Arian. We're proud of you, brother. Everybody else can eat shit. Now, real quick, can I talk about a couple things that happened in the past that I never got to talk to you about?
Yeah, man, that's right.
Okay, so you were a vegan there for a little bit.
And yeah, it wasn't long, man, but I was.
you were a vegan there for a little bit. And across the NFL, we were kind of interested to see if your body could hold up being a vegan. Why did you end up falling out of that? Why'd you get into it, that whole situation?
So I got into it because I was super into nutrition and, you know, taking care of the body. You kind of have to be cognizant of that as a professional athlete. You know, you go deep down the rabbit hole and you see how far you can take nutrition. And I think I went extremely deep. Not saying that it's not a healthy lifestyle for people. For some people, it is. You know, I tend to agree with the premise of what veganism is, especially when you're talking plant based. That's yeah. really what it is. That's about being plant based. And I agree with it. For me, I just found that it's extremely tiresome thinking and plotting a meal out every single day. It's like you have to think about food, and especially in this culture, there's so many events that are centered around food, and you don't really notice it until you take meat away. So you take meat away and you realize how, I mean, think about it, every birthday party, every barbecue. Holiday, any kind of occasion is centered around food and directly meat. And it's when you step outside and exclude yourself from that, it just gets tiresome, like constantly having to think about food. And after a while, I was like, you know, if it takes a couple of years of my life, I'm just going to die happy. You know,
believe me, I'm a guy who gets drunk often off of beer and drink, only eats pizza and wings. So I was very impressed whenever you decided to do that. But I didn't know it was the logistical reason. I thought your body couldn't keep up if you didn't have meat or something like that. You were lacking some type of protein. So I'm happy you cleared that up.
Yeah, no, that's a misconception. You can get protein from other sources. You do have to supplement B12. I found that out. So I learned a lot through the process, man. I just figured, and I don't knock anybody that is a vegan. I encourage the lifestyle, especially if it's plant based. It just wasn't for me after a while, man. I think I did it for like 6 months in 2012, and then I stopped like mid season. So
we're all real impressed with it. I was very impressed with it. I want to let you know, across the NFL, there was a lot of people impressed with the move. We thought it was aggressive as fuck, but we really liked it. Hey, I got another question for you. You're on. You helped solve a murder on Hawaii 5-0 with Dano and McGarrett. Yeah. Is that something you're planning on doing? Are you going to act, or what are you going to get into?
Oh, I was like, I don't want to solve any murders, man. But yeah, for sure, man. I'm looking into it. You know, I got some people out in LA trying to pull some strings. He's getting me in some auditions and things. And who knows, man? It's a fun. I've always been a fan of the arts. I took theater in high school and college, so I've always been active in the arts. And so it'll be fun to pursue. It's different once you're out of the league, man. You have all these resources that you and all these things you dreamed of as a kid that was outside of football, and it just opened up. So it's kind of like a circus right now. I need to harness in on what I want to do with my life and do it. But I'm taking a little break right now.
I respect that so much because I just made a very similar decision here recently. I didn't have the career you had or accomplish all the things you did, but I understand completely where you're coming from.
I don't know, man. Yeah, you was a killer, man. I don't know about that, man.
Oh, geez. Hey, you can keep those coming if you want throughout this conversation. You keep the compliments coming. I'll take them from anybody, you especially. But if you want to drop those, let me know.
I always tell people, man, if you made it in the league, man, you were the top 1%, man. Not a lot of people got to walk in our shoes, man, so it's all good.
Hey, you know what? You're goddamn right there. Yeah, that's our shoes, guys. Me and Arian. Yeah, think about that. Maybe I'll fight a wolf. Maybe that's what I'll do. Hey, your mom is incredible on Twitter. How do you feel about it?
Oh, appreciate you following her, man. Okay, so let me say that about this. She's been trying to get me to. She's like at 970 some followers. She's like, you got to get me over 1,000.
That's hilarious.
Mom, that's some of the most fickle shit you've ever said.
You commenting about her using GIFs the other day, or GIFs, whatever the hell they're called, was probably what, because I was scrolling through your Twitter to kind of keep up with everything you were doing, and I was like, let's see what else he's got going on, and you calling out your mom for using GIFs the first time was so hilarious to me.
Man, you should, it's one of the funniest things ever when your parents start figuring out, like, technology, like, my dad just figured it out too, right, and he sent me this Steve Harvey GIF that had nothing to do with the conversation. Like, it was just a more random, the it's so funny though, man.
My dad has figured out what the share button is on Facebook, and everybody that has been around my dad for the last 50 years is learning a lot about him very quickly. I mean, he's just sharing the fuck out of everything. You know exactly when he's taking a shit, and you know exactly what he's thinking at that exact moment. He shares more than anybody in the history of Facebook. And I go, Dad, are you going to like take it easy with sharing all this stuff? You know, you're kind of scaring people off. And he goes, I think I'm getting a following. And I've been quiet for 50 years. Now's my time. I said, you're not speaking though. You're just sharing photos. You get the fucking point.
You got to let him have it though, man. You know?
He's having that moment. Exactly. All right, Aaron. Well, we appreciate you greatly, man. So much for coming in. You were an incredible football player. This Twitter rant, I hope it builds into something awesome because you're an incredible personality. You're just a cool dude, man. So we hope nothing but the best for you. We thank you so much for coming on. We hope you come on again.
Man, likewise, man. I appreciate it. And great career to you, man, and enjoy yourself. And I hope big things for you, too, as well.
Thank you, Aaron. Thanks, Aaron Foster. Yeah. Great conversation, brother. Appreciate you so much.
All right. Y'all take care.
All right. See ya. What a convo. Guy was a vegan. Couldn't handle it logistically. Said it was a nightmare, which I was thinking about while he was talking about it would be.
That's why
I would think so.
All my diets end.
Because yeah. You just can't plan for it?
Yeah, they're tough, man. They're tough.
They really are, because you got a meal prep and meal plan and all that stuff.
It's a lifestyle.
It is. It's everything.
So it takes a lot of effort and time. You know, so effort. If you're busy in other things,
Nick, yeah. Nick, glad we hired this fucking guy for zero salary.
Effort.
I figured someone like him though should be able to hire a vegan chef.
That's what I thought too. I would have thought that too. I was going to ask, but I didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
We're hindsight now. We're past that. I believe he would beat a wolf, an average, because he put it in perspective. Not a big wolf, average wolf all by itself thinks he would do it.
Yeah, so I was doing a lot of wolf research and film study this morning,
Absolutely.
Like he was, and like yesterday when I saw this, I was like, oh yeah, the wolf, not a chance.
Barwa said not a chance. Barwa, so he's
no.
I was saying
the wolf didn't have a chance.
Oh,
that's
really?
What I thought yesterday, and then the film I was watching today, like
pretty vicious animals. Yeah. That's only when they're in a crowd.
Yeah, you got to catch them alone.
Yeah, because when you're with your boys, you know, you're a lot more confident.
I think they lose heart quicker when they're by themselves.
They ain't got the will because they've already been abandoned. They're ready to quit.
Right.
They're already very afraid of humans, I read. So
they're a playoff team. They're not a playoff team. It's week 12. They're not going to playoffs. They're ready to get the fuck out. They left their pack. Mm-hmm. They're all by themselves.
They'll show their bitch ass teeth and run away.
What if you get the wolf drunk and he's like real ballsy? He just struts out by himself.
One of those mouthy wolves.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about the drunk courage, the liquid courage wolf.
Mm-hmm.
The mouthy wolf. Mouthy
likes to chirp a lot.
They're the little ones. Yeah.
Great conversation with Aaron. What a cool guy. I hope he gets into acting. Theater major in college and high school. He took some theater. I think he's going to do really well. Namaste bow after touchdowns. What a guy.
What are the chances he goes on to acting, he gets cast in The Gray 2?
And that'd be hilarious.
Instead of Liam Neeson?
For those of us that have no idea what the fuck that is.
Actually, at the end credits, he's still alive laying on the wolf.
That's true. But if people that haven't seen it, just Google it.
It's a movie?
A movie where Liam Neeson battles a pack of wolves the entire movie.
Is he alive? I thought it was left open for interpretation.
Could go either way.
You would interpret it as dead.
Why? Because he's negative?
Yes.
Wow. We've never even seen it, and he said you're being negative. I think that's a dickhead move.
Well, to be honest, I've never seen it. I just heard about it.
Yeah.
Oh, so there's chats about what's this movie called? You've just
The Gray. The Gray.
People know, like, when? How
Everyone
old
talks about Liam Neeson movies.
Six years old?
Yeah.
It's five years old.
He's that dude Taken?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I got you. That's the badass guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll see it. I think Aaron Foster's going to do well in whatever he wants to do. He's got a good brain, and he's obviously got a great work ethic. Good guy.
Very funny.
All right, well, this is one of my favorite parts of this thing. It's whenever we get to learn about cops. Everybody knows about cops. Everybody knows a cop. Everybody has had to deal with a cop. There's always so many cop movies, detective movies, because everybody's intrigued by cops. We happen to have a cop on staff right here, a guy who did 21 years doing this. He's told a couple stories on Tuesday's shows. We're going to do a Q&A on Thursday's show. We're going to keep up with the stories. Mm-hmm. So Tuesday show, which is today, this is our first inaugural, obviously. We're going to do Behind the Badge Q&A. This is where we launch a tweet out to the Twitterverse and ask us for questions in return. We got a good one this week, and I'm excited to hear this answer.
Oh, boy.
I'm excited. This is something that a lot of people have been wondering. A lot of people wondered this, Diggs.
Hey, Diggs. I haven't heard it yet. I haven't heard it.
A lot of people wondered this question, guys. At Arch Angel.
Archangel or Archangel.
A-R-C-H.
That's Arch.
Archangel.
Okay. All right.
Underscore U.S. It's an American. Good.
An American angel.
Have to clarify
this is
that.
An American archangel.
All right.
Boy, it could be from fucking anywhere. With way Kim Jong-un's operating over there, I'm surprised this isn't an Asian one.
But yeah.
It's an American.
All right.
Is it true, Todd?
Okay.
That all cops have to be tased and pepper sprayed as a part of your training? Is that a true question?
That is true.
Okay. I did not expect that, by the way. Did not expect that. I'm excited to hear it.
But it's part of your certifications, the deal. Like, so if you're going to go to court, testify that you used a chemical agent, which is pepper spray, or a taser on somebody, they want you to go into court and say, well, is it inhumane? I had it done to me.
Oh, yeah. So it gives you instant cred.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Got it.
And I survived. I'm fine. You know, all those things. So, I've been sprayed.
By the way, pepper spray is inhumane. I've been pepper sprayed numerous times.
For what?
It is inhumane. For other stuff happening around me, I just caught the...
Yeah.
Back to your story.
Yeah. Pepper spray is horrible.
Horrible.
In fact, in our academy, they spray you in the face in like a cross formation.
Yeah.
Twice, steady
blessing
stream.
You. Blessing you.
Yeah, blessing your face.
with ashes. They put ashes on your
with
forehead.
Pepper spray. And then they make you fight over your gun. So a person like me teaching defensive tactics
attacks you. This might be what's wrong with cops.
And tries to take away your gun.
You guys are immediately pissed off about everything.
Yeah.
This is the answer.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Fuck.
So,
you've been pepper sprayed. How about taste?
Taste, yes. Now, like, that's if you carry a taser. I think most cops do now. Not a lot of people in my department did, but my group had to. So, they told me, like, I did this job. I didn't carry it very long. So, I'd been doing this job, like, 20 years. And all of a sudden, they were like, hey, you're going to have to start carrying a taser. Which I'm like, what's that mean? They're like, well,
old are you at this point?
43.
Old dog,
probably.
Too old for this.
Old dog, new trick.
Old dog, new trick that I didn't want to learn.
Okay,
new trick. So they're like, what does that mean? And they're like, well, that means you have to be certified to carry the taser, which means you're gonna have to be tased by said taser. And I was like, well, that's easy. I just won't carry a taser. But they're like, no, you have to be because of your job, right? So I was like, okay, well. So I don't have any choice. And they're like, no, this is your job. You have to carry the taser, which means you have to be tased by said taser. And I'm like, I've never had to be shot with said bullets. I've been carrying this gun for 27 years now. It makes no sense to me. So they're like, oh, no, you have to. So they did it. And I'll try to explain the process. A lot of people probably aren't familiar with it. What they do is they put you in a room.
A lot of people aren't. Yeah, well, that's why we're fucking asking a question.
Right.
Nobody's familiar with it.
So they put a cop in each one of your arms so you don't fall forward and chip a tooth or something stupid. So
that's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little teamwork.
And then everybody that's waiting to be tased after you gets to stand in front of you and watch like a live studio audience to watch you ride the lightning, right?
Ride the lightning.
Yeah.
That's my favorite term.
That's it. Ride the lightning.
So
I didn't tase you. You rode the light. Right. You're welcome. Jesus.
And I will try to explain the pain because people always are like, everybody talks about, is it really that bad? Yes, it's the worst pain imaginable. That's all you had to say. Worst pain imaginable.
it was worse than the pepper spray?
Yes, much worse than the pepper spray. Although the pepper spray lasts for longer. Because that's the thing about the taser. Worst pain imaginable, but when it's done, it's done.
Bang.
Yeah.
How long is it?
It lasts for 5 seconds. So here's I'll describe the pain. This is how I always
describe
it.
5 seconds. You can do anything.
Yeah.
5 seconds, right, Frank?
You would hope so.
Yeah. You don't get any choice. Like, you got to ride it out until it's done. So
what's it feel like?
If you ever got a really bad Charlie horse cramp in the back of your calf.
What about a cramp when you're in the pool in the bottom of your foot?
Yeah.
That's the worst one.
Yeah, like that. But imagine that happened in every single muscle throughout your entire body, head to toe, at the exact same time for a duration of 5 seconds. Yeah. Worst pain imaginable.
That'd be horrible.
I have a question when we're
done. And everybody reacts differently when they get tased. Like, some guys scream like they just shut their dick in a car door.
Horrible pain, now that I think about that.
Figured probably.
And some guys contort.
By the way, big old dick. Jeez. Anyways, go on.
Some guys, they just, you know how you regret. Some guys contort in this weird, unnatural, freaky-looking position, like one of those scary ass little kids in a Japanese horror movie that runs up the walls and bends her head backwards.
Oh, I hate Japan.
Yeah. In fact, the very first guy in my class that got hit did that. And he just kicked backwards like, and he just collapsed. Like, he died. We were like, he just died.
That was the first
the
guy?
The very first guy out of the box. And even you could see panic on the instructor's face. And you're like, oh, shit. This is real. That guy just died. Right? But he came to when they were done. And the thing is, you got to ride it out for 5 seconds. And like I said, worst pain imaginable. But all the screaming and the contorting, funny, you know, weird things that happened to him. I was like, I am not going out like that.
No bitch. I ain't no bitch.
It's going to hurt like hell, but it only lasts for 5 seconds.
And by bitch, we mean female dog.
Yes.
Yeah, don't get it.
But it only lasts for 5 seconds. So I was like, I'm going to take it like a man. And I did for 4.9 seconds.
So close.
So close. So my goal was just to bear down and grunt it out, right? So for 4.9 seconds, all you heard was me up on my toes going, ah! And then with 0.10 seconds left, you heard, ah! And a little fart came out. Not like a manly fart either that we could chuckle about the next day at lunch. Just a little. So, yeah, worst thing imaginable.
Did you get shit for that fart?
Yeah. Oh,
literally and figuratively?
I got shit for that fart.
How about that?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you didn't even know what you did there, a little double.
Oh, I knew what I did.
So you have been tased and pepper sprayed, and it's the worst pain imaginable.
Worst pain.
Did you tase anybody afterwards and felt horrible about it?
I've never tased anybody. I didn't have it long enough. I came close a couple times and then had to back off of it. My butt, or my partner at the time.
His butt buddy.
We were.
Tim Tebow.
You said it.
One of the guys in my team, we came up on this guy that we had warrants for because we were a fugitive task force. So we pulled up behind this truck where he was. And he sees us, he makes out who we are, takes off on foot, and starts running. Well, I'm a fat old dude. Like, I can't keep up. So I'm just like, I'll just jog.
Agreed. Hard agree.
One of these young guys will catch him. Well, my buddy runs marathons and shit. Fastest guy I know. So
he's an asshole.
Mitch will catch him, you know. So I'll go around the backside. So Mitch, at a full sprint, is running. He keeps yelling at the guy, stop or I'll tase you, stop or I'll tase you. And the guy's getting ready to turn into this laundromat, and there's people in there. He's like, I can't let him get where the people are. So at a full sprint, lets it go, hits him, the prongs, two of them, back of the dude's skull.
Oh boy.
Stuck in his skull.
Clear!
And the dude just froze up like, and bam, face plant.
So are you,
full sprint.
So I...
Oh, my God.
I have so many questions.
Yeah. I was like, because the guy, he cut his head when he fell, and your head bleeds like incredible.
Oh, right? Really? Yeah.
So by the time we get there, I was like, oh, my God, he just killed this guy, right? The guy was fine, but he had his cut.
So that dude had a 5-second ride in the brain?
Yeah. Could that
kill you?
No. The thing
is, no.
It's because you know they say it's not the volts that kill you, it's the amps. I think.
Nope.
Never heard it. Yeah. Not a single time.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone I roll with says
Jay,
that.
Jay, shut the fuck up.
That's true.
Yeah. So this is volts. It just hurts like shit. Puts you in a full body cramp. It doesn't affect your internal organs.
So brain shots
anyway.
Are okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's not where you aim. You're supposed to aim high shoulder and with one, and because you cock it like a 45. So one goes high in the shoulder and the other goes low with your waist, because the farther between the prongs,
the more body you get.
Yeah. The more current travels through a longer period of your body, the more effective it is. But two of these right next to each other, boom, back of the scalp. Very effective also. Yeah. And the doctor had to, in the hospital, had to like surgically remove
I don't want to hear about it. Stop it. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah. They were like in the skull.
So I have a little heart issue. So you're saying I could get tased and be fine?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
because
it's not the answer.
Hey, good to know.
The volts.
Good to know.
Yeah.
I could be a dickhead when I'm out now.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Why are you flipping this like that? All right. Well, I'm happy to hear that.
That's one thing I regret is that I had to turn in my taser because I would have
we could buy another
tased
one.
Digs
no,
on video.
No, none of I don't want a taser around here. Me? That's the worst story I've ever heard in my life.
But if we tase Diggs?
Why would?
Yeah, let's tase Diggs. I'm all in on tasing.
Oh, sure. Let's tase Diggs. That'll be funny.
Black market.
We thought the safety was on. Sorry.
Ah,
zero salary.
Fuck it. I'll do it.
Zero salary. Zero Dave. Blue check mark on Twitter.
We're working on that.
Just tase the shit out of them. Good show, guys. Good story. I appreciate you for that.
Thanks, buddy.
And I hope you learned something out there. Those cops that are tasing you have been tased themselves. If you're fat, does it help out?
You know, that's a good
question. Because I see a lot of fat cops tasing people.
All you need is help the cop.
You could have stopped that. I see a lot of fat cops.
Well let's just say this way.
We like the blue line.
The taser's the last option, and if you know you can't run,
I feel like the gun should be the last option, Todd.
I'm sorry, what?
I feel like the gun should be the last option.
Well, I mean, between that and not using the taser.
Oh, okay.
I'm happy we cleared that up by the rule book.
Yeah.
Guys, today's show has been a good one. It's a little bit quicker than our other ones, which I think people will appreciate. I think that's a good thing. Maybe you guys will get to the end. Maybe you'll hear this, actually. We're going to wrap this up, though, with a final thought. Diggs, what do you got?
Final thought today. I got nothing.
Good. Todd, what's your final thought?
Tim Tebow, greatest athlete on the planet. I think we can all agree that's what we learned today.
Diggs, you agree?
Yeah. No. No, I don't fucking agree.
Jason, what you learn? What's your final thought?
I got nothing.
This is the worst show ever.
I know, yeah.
Well, you got something. Where will you get your tickets to sporting events and concerts from now on?
I was actually going to ask if you can get tickets to the
teaser. Oh, I know. I know what my final thought is.
SeatGeek.com.
Come back around.
Good.
What's your final thought, dude?
Todd's a dick.
Oh, yeah. Uncle Todd.
Uncle Todd's a real dick.
He's a good actor is what he is. That's
what I learned today.
That was incredible.
I should be on Hawaii 5-0.
Real asshole.
Todd's feeling himself because he duped the guy who shot his sock drum.
Todd, it wasn't that funny.
Nick, final thought?
Yeah, you got your tires pumped pretty good today, Pat. You got to feel good about
he
that.
Got off real
guys,
hard.
Guys, it's going to be a big night for me tonight. I'm going to go home, and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to drink a beer.
Yeah.
I'm going to drink a beer.
America.
I'm going to drink a beer.
What?
Another beer.
What?
Tequila.
What?
Whiskey.
What?
Jameson.
What?
Another beer.
What?
Another beer.
What?
Another beer.
What?
All right, that's our show. Thank you so much for tuning in. See ya.